Welcome to session 5 of the Abundant Life class from the School for Life. Today we're going to be talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is an awesome class because when we talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit himself and his ministry in our lives. And this is one of the best things that God does for us. But before we get into it, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you come and live within us by your Spirit. We're thankful for your ministry and your work in us by your Spirit. We open ourselves to you as we hear this lesson, as we study about the Holy Spirit, that you would teach us and that you would train us and you would tutor us and you would guide us, lead us into your word, lead us and guide us and direct us as we hear this information, and show us and reveal to us what you'd have us to know. And Father, we're thankful for the School for Life. We're thankful particularly for these Abundant Life classes and what they mean to us. And we ask that you help us to get the most out of these classes so that we can come to a better understanding of who we are in Christ and our authority that we have. And we can come to a better understanding of how to live by faith and how to be led by your Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today, as I said, we're going to be talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's guide who lives within us. Now, a marvelous result of the new birth, of being born again, is that God came to live inside of man. And by man, I mean women, children, I mean all of us. Man as a race, as a people, man as a entity. You know, under the Old Covenant, which is the Old Testament, God could only, for just a moment, he could come on just certain people, just the priest or the prophet or the king. He could come on them just for a moment. And the common man had no hope of contact with God, because God was a holy God, and man was sinful and had a sin nature. And God, who was a holy God, couldn't have contact with a sinful man. And so God couldn't live in man. And he could just for a moment come on a priest or a prophet or a king. And that's why someone like David or someone like Isaiah or Moses could have some contact with God just for a moment. But the regular guy, he couldn't have contact with God. And so the regular guy had to have contact with God through another man, through the priest. He had to go to a priest to try to have some kind of relationship with God. But through the new birth, we've been made anew in Christ Jesus, and all of our sins are washed away as if they didn't exist before, and we've been given a new nature, been made partakers of divine nature. Therefore, God can come live within us. And by his Spirit, he can indwell us. And so really the greatest under the Old Covenant, the greatest person under the Old Covenant was, whether that was Isaiah or Elijah or whoever that might have been under the Old Covenant, the greatest didn't have what the least in the kingdom of God under the New Covenant has. And that's an awesome thought. That no matter how low on the totem pole, so to speak, you may think you are in the kingdom of God, you have a better deal than what the greatest under the Old Covenant had. Now, since actually God, by his Spirit, now lives in us, he serves as an inner guide for us. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will tell you things that are to come." He'll tell you things to come. And so he serves as an inner guide. He's inside of us, guiding us into all truth. And that's comforting to me. I don't know about you, but that's very comforting to me, knowing that I don't just have to take somebody's word for something, but I have someone inside of me who can verify with me, who can guide me, who can guide me into the word, who can guide me and show me that I'm going the right way, who can lead me and guide me in life, and who not only will lead me and guide me into all the truth, but he will show me things that are to come. He can prepare me and get me ready and set me in the right position and preposition me for what is to come. Now, purpose of this class is to help us all to learn to follow His leading. And learning to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit is a process. It's not something that's automatic. It's not something that you learn in a day. It's a lifetime pursuit, learning to follow His leading. It's something you get better at doing. It's something that you can definitely learn to do, but it's a process. And the first step in the process of learning to follow His leading is to start out by following the written word. That's where you start. You start out by reading the Bible, hearing the Bible taught, and by following what you see in the written word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:103, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's a lamp unto your feet. It's the light for your pathway. You start out by looking in the Word, knowing the Word, seeing the Word, reading the Word, and following what the Word says. You find scriptures that give you instruction, and you follow what they say to do, and you live in accordance with that. And as you follow the written Word, then that's the beginning. Because the Holy Spirit's leading in your life will always agree with the scriptures. He will never lead you to do anything that contradicts the word. It'll always, His leading will always agree with the word. And as you endeavor to obey the written word, well, then what happens is the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you through the word. And He will reveal more specific direction for your life. It might work as simply as this. You'll begin to read in the Word, and you'll read something read a scripture, and suddenly inside of you, you'll start seeing how to apply that scripture in your life in a way you hadn't seen before. Well, that's His leading. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. You'll be reading a scripture, and suddenly you'll see how that connects with maybe a message that you had heard your pastor preach. And that's the Holy Spirit leading. He's connecting things for you. You'll have read a scripture, and later in the day, you'll run across somebody saying something, and maybe it's contrary to what you read in the scripture, or maybe it's an example of what you read in the scripture, and suddenly those two things will come into play and they'll connect up. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. The word will start becoming real and active in your life, and there'll be a practical application. That's the Holy Spirit's leading through the word. Now, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you through the word, and He'll reveal more specific direction for your life. You'll have a question or something will come up. You'll be making a decision, and suddenly from inside of you, a scripture will come to you, or a principle that you've learned from the word will come to you, and things will start connecting together, and ideas and thoughts from the scripture, from the written word, will start coming to you, seemingly almost from nowhere, but they're coming up inside of you. That's the word leading you, the Holy Spirit leading you, speaking to you from the word. That's first and foremost where His leading comes from. The Holy Spirit leads you from the word. That's where you start. And so if you're really wanting to learn about the leading of the Holy Spirit, start with the Word and ask Him to lead you from the Word. Ask Him. Say, "Holy Spirit, I'm wanting You to lead me and guide me into all the truth." And ask Him. Now, God communicates to us. You need to understand this. God communicates to us spirit to spirit. He is a spirit. You are a spirit. So that's good. So you're a spirit. He's a spirit. So you can communicate to Him. And He can communicate to you. And He communicates with you spirit to spirit. Now, He doesn't communicate to you through your mind or your body. Now, your spirit is where He communicates to you because He lives in your spirit. By His spirit, He lives in your spirit. And that's where He speaks to you. Now, in a practical way, your spirit is located not in your head, but it's located more in your belly or in your heart area. Physically, if you perceive His leading, it seems like it's coming up from in your belly. When He speaks to you, it's not coming out of your head. It's coming up from inside of you. It literally feels like it comes up from inside of you. Now, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, a good way to illustrate it is when you speak in tongues, where those words that you speak come from, You know this if you speak in tongues. They come up from inside of you. They come from down in your belly somewhere. That's because that's where the Holy Spirit is. He's down inside of you in your belly. He's not in your head. And that might take a little while to get used to, but that's really where you're looking for him. You're looking for him down there, not in your head. But if you're just learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, you're probably pretty used to your head, looking in your head for answers and being led by your head, being everything happening in your head and reasoning and thinking everything through. And it's kind of an adjustment to get used to looking somewhere other than just in your head. Now, am I saying we don't go by reasoning and that you just totally ignore reasoning and what you might think? No, I'm not saying that at all. God gave you a mind. He gave you the ability to reason and to think things through and to analyze. And you definitely should use all of your reasoning faculties. But we are not going to make it in life unless we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, because He knows a lot more than we know. And His leading goes well beyond what we can perceive with our natural senses or what we can reason out or what our intelligence, you know, is aware of. And so we take what we know and then we let Him lead us in addition to that. Now, Proverbs chapter 20 says in verse 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man, not the mind of man, but the spirit of man. And the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. That's where He deals with us, is in our spirit. It's the lamp. It's the place where He enlightens us. It's the place He brings light to us, is in our spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Now, that doesn't mean that in order to be saved, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's not what it's talking about. This is talking about, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is talking about, you could read the verse this way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones who enjoy the benefits of being sons of God. It's talking about the benefits of sonship. It's not talking about literally being sons of God. It's talking about enjoying the benefits or reaping the benefits or walking in the benefits of sonship. And the Holy Spirit is ever leading us into all the benefits that God provided for us in our salvation, the benefits that we can enjoy as children of God. But if we fail to follow Him, we'll miss out on what God has for us. So if we don't follow His leading, if we never learn to hear from Him, if we never learn to follow His leading and to go where He's leading us to go, we're going to miss out on those benefits, on all the benefits He has in that benefit package He's provided for us. But to follow Him, we must first hear Him. You're not going to follow Him if you can't hear Him. So we got to figure out how can we hear Him. But actually hearing God is much simpler than it's been made out to be. The reality is that if you have an assurance of salvation, you've heard from God. You've heard from the Spirit of God. Let me ask you, do you know you're saved? If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven when you died? Do you know? Do you know it? Now, are you sure? Now, why are you sure? Well, you might say, well, now, Susie, I know because I know that Romans 10 says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I'm saved. Well, yeah, now, that's true. But I'm betting, not that I bet, but I'm betting that it's more than that. I'm betting that on the inside of you, you know you're saved because you know you're saved. Because something on the inside of you is telling you you're saved. You know, when I lay in the bed at night and, you know, I think about there's a really big universe out there. There's billions and billions of stars and planets and, I mean, just on Earth, there's billions of people, and I'm just one of them. But God knows me. And if my next breath is my last one, I know I'm going off into eternity. I'm going into the arms of Jesus. I just know that. And my assurance of that isn't based on just a scripture. Even though I have plenty of scriptures on it, it's not based on that. It's based on a knowing. Inside of me, I have a knowing. I have an assurance. There's something inside of me that's assuring me of that. Do you know what that is? Well, I do. I do know what it is. And I know from the Bible what it is. Because that same chapter in Romans 8 that I just read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, two verses down, verse 16 says this. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I'll read that for you again. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us. And he's in there bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit is inside of me. And he's telling me, telling my spirit, assuring my spirit that I'm a child of God. So while I'm laying on my bed and it's dark in the night and I'm thinking about that great big universe that's out there, I'm thinking about all those billions of people that are out there, but then I'm sitting there thinking about how God loves me and how I'm right with him and how if I breathe my last breath, you know, I'm going to be in the arms of Jesus. I'm thinking about all that, and I have that assurance of salvation because the Holy Spirit's in me, and he's telling me, you're mine. I love you. You're right with me. You're my child. He's inside of me, bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And if you know that you know that you're saved, it's because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's what he's doing inside of you. That's one of his jobs, to bear witness with you that you're a child of God. Now, let me tell you this. If you have that going on right now, if you know that you know that you're saved, you've heard from God. You've heard from the Spirit of God. You have received a leading from the Holy Spirit. You're doing like my daughter says, you are receiving messages from the outside world. Ha ha. That's the truth, because God's talking to you. He's assuring you. And that we would call the inward witness. We would call the Holy Spirit as he does that. We would call that the inward witness. And it's much simpler. Hearing from God's much simpler than what it's been made out to be. You have an assurance of salvation. He is bearing witness with our spirit. Really, what he's doing is he's verifying with us that we're God's kids, that we're God's children, and that he loves us. And if we can receive that verification concerning our eternal security, concerning salvation, concerning heaven being our home when we die, then we can receive his verification on all kinds of other things. So that same knowing, that same peace, that same verification that we're receiving about salvation, that's the same thing we're looking for when we're looking to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're looking for that inward witness. So get familiar with it, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for him to lead us that same way. That's the way he will lead you about everything else. That's the primary way that he will lead you in all the other areas that he wants to lead you and that you want him to lead you. When it comes to, you know, the big decisions of life, like where should I live or what job should I take or who should I marry or what should I study in school or should I go to school or when should I retire or all the kinds of questions and things that we have in life, that same inward witness will be the verification about what we should do. Now, Luke, the writer who wrote, you know, the book of Acts, and he also wrote the Gospel of Luke, he expressed the leading of the Holy Spirit in these words. He said it in Acts chapter 15, verse 34. He wrote it this way. He said, it seemed right. In the New King James, he wrote it that way. It seemed right. Now, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, it just somehow seems right on the inside. Now, not based on reasoning or logic, but based on your insides, based on the real you. You know, you are a spirit. The real you, your inside, your spirit, it seems to be responding and verifying, and things just seem right down in your gut. Just inside of you, things seem to be right. And that's how the way he expressed it. He said, it seems right. Different people have different ways of expressing it, but that's the way Luke expressed it. The best way to make sure you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit is to follow peace. I've had this happen to me so many times when I've been leading people to Jesus, praying with people to be saved. I pray with people, and so often, many more times than not, I'll pray with people to be saved. I'll lead them, minister the gospel to them, and then lead them through a prayer of salvation. And when we get to the amen, thank you for saving me, amen. And people say amen, and I open my eyes and look at them, and they open their eyes. Almost every person will say something like this. They'll say either, or they'll say, man, that sure feels good. Or they'll literally say this, boy, what a relief. I had one guy say, boy, what a load off. Or they'll say something about, I feel like a ton of bricks. I had a guy say that to me. A ton of bricks has just been moved off of me. I've had so many people say, either just sigh, a big sigh, or say something to the fact that they feel like the weight of the world was just lifted off of them. It's like suddenly they have gotten a huge relief, or you could say this, a huge sense of peace just came over them. Well, really, I mean, the reason that they feel that is because, indeed, they just found peace. The first time in their life, they are experiencing real peace because they've made peace with God. And they found peace, and the burden of sin has been removed. So they literally have found peace. So that's why they're expressing it. And I bring that up because peace comes from God. Peace. Peace. Now, the best way to make sure you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, really what you're looking for when you're looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit is you're looking for peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified says this. It says, and let the peace from Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. It says, let the peace from Christ rule or act as an umpire continually in your hearts. So we are to let peace rule or act as an umpire continually. Now, that's interesting. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know that much about sports. Never really played sports, not organized sports too much. But I know enough about sports to know what an umpire does. And in the game of baseball, the umpire stands behind home plate. And the job of the umpire behind home plate is to make a ruling over the pitches that come across that plate. And the umpire is calling those pitches, whether they be a ball or whether they be a strike. He's saying what those pitches are. And really, that's what peace is supposed to be doing in our lives. When things come across the home plate of our life, so to speak, we are supposed to be letting peace make a ruling on those things that come across the plate of our lives. You know, here comes a job opportunity. We should let peace be the umpire. Let it call, make a ruling on that pitch, so to speak. What does peace say about it? Well, we know our minds are going to have something to say about it. Our minds are going to say something. Our own flesh is going to say something. Our desires are going to say something. We're going to have all kinds of input from our bodies, from our minds, from our own human desires, our emotions. We're going to have emotions about it. But what we're looking for is the peace that comes from Christ, that peace that's down inside of us. We're going to let it make a ruling. We're going to let it weigh in. And we're going to let it be the one with the final call. You're looking at a job opportunity that comes up. Well, we have bills to pay. And so our mind is going to weigh in on the financial opportunity that's at hand. And then our flesh, it's going to have something to say about it, whether it likes the work environment or whether it likes the people, you know, that's going to be there, whether, you know, it finds the other people relationally attractive or not, whether it likes the kind of work that's there. Emotionally, whether it's engaging, and our minds, whether it's stimulating. But only the peace that comes from God, only the Spirit of God who indwells us, really, only He knows the future. Only He knows the plans of God. Only He knows whether this is really the place for us or not. Only He knows the master plan. Only He knows the end from the beginning. And so He's the one that we're looking to see looking for his call, because we don't know. We don't know what's going down tomorrow. We don't know the end from the beginning. We don't know what really needs to be happening with our job and our future. And so we need to let him weigh in on it. And we need to let him call the shot. And the way he will do that is with peace. So you're saying, what do you mean he's going to do that with peace? How does that work? Well, inside of you, you're looking for peace. Now, that might be hard. For some people, that's very difficult, if not impossible, because they've never really had much peace. I'm telling you, one of the biggest things you can do in your life, one of the most critical things for you to do in life, is to establish peace in your life. You got to have peace. You got to establish peace in your life. You got to get peace. No matter what, you got to get some peace. You got to establish peace in your home, and you got to keep the peace. You got to fight to keep the peace, if you know what I mean. You can't just have chaos going on in your life. You can't be the drama queen and be led by the Spirit of God. You got to have peace. And you got to turn down the TV and maybe turn off the TV. And if there's people in your life that continually disrupt the peace, you got to deal with that, draw some boundaries, and get peace in your life. You cannot afford in this day and age to not have peace, because peace, peace, peace is how God first and foremost and primarily leads us, is by peace. And if you don't have peace, you're going to miss out on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you miss out on the leading of the Holy Spirit in our day, in this time that we're living in, you're going to miss out on safety and protection. You're going to miss out on what God has for you. And I don't know where you're going to end up. So you're going to have to get some peace. Now, once you have a certain level of peace in your life, then what happens is, you follow peace and you maintain that peace. And if something disrupts the peace, then you go to looking. What steps did I make? What decisions have I been making? What's been going on? And then if there's a situation where you're making a decision, you start making baby steps towards it. For instance, I just used the example about a job. Well, you go for a job interview, or you fill out an application and you start making baby steps. You don't commit. You don't jump off the cliff. You start making baby steps, and as you start making baby steps, the peace will either grow or it'll subside. And so you keep a check on the peace. You keep tuned in to the peace. And if the peace stays, if the peace grows, as you make baby steps towards something, the peace is there and the peace increases, then you know you're going the right way. But if the peace starts decreasing, if something's interrupting the peace, then you know you're going the wrong way. You start backing off on it. And there's plenty of things you can do. Whatever decision you're making, whatever you're dealing with, there's always something you can do without fully committing. You know, if it's you're looking to buy a house, you can always go to open houses. Always go out with a realtor and look. You don't have to sign a dotted line. You can, if it's some, you're looking to go to school or send your kid off to college, you can go and look at the schools. You know, there's always baby steps, I call them. Always some kind of baby steps you can start taking in a direction and you're checking peace. But now, don't be taking steps and not checking peace. People do that and they just throw caution to the wind and they're just taking steps because they want to do it. And they override peace, and boy, you can get yourself in trouble there. But the scripture says, let peace. That means you have a choice, because anytime the scripture says let peace, that means you have a choice. It's up to you. You let peace rule in your life. Let the peace from Christ act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Let it decide and settle with finality all questions that arise in your mind. So you start out by taking these non-committal baby steps. And if you have peace there, then you just take another step. But at each step, you check your peace level. Now, we've done that again and again. When we were buying our building and the search for our building, when we started out, before we were looking for land. And we almost bought two pieces of property. And the first one, we took steps. The more steps we took, the closer we got to it, the more apparent that it became that was not what we were supposed to do. We would take baby steps, and the more steps we took, the less peace we had. finally we got to that and saw this was not the thing to do. And then we found another piece of property and it looked good and we got excited and it had possibilities and we'd go out and walk on that land and we were so excited about it. And we started taking steps and we went to the bank and we talked to the owner and we went to the bank and we talked to the owner and we went out on the land and we just step after step. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. We went to an architect, we went to an engineer, we had it surveyed, we took all kinds of steps. Step after step, but then there got to a point in taking steps at the peace. We realized there's no more peace here. No more peace. And the peace started coming. The further we stepped away from it, we got more and more peace. And we'd back a step away and there was more peace. And we'd back another step and there's more peace. We'd back another step and there's more peace. See, at every step, check your peace level. Now I'm going to tell you, don't override your peace. Don't override your peace and don't let people bully you. And don't let time push you. You take the time you need to get peace before you make a commitment. And I'm going to tell you this. If you think that you're being bullied by time or by people, back off. Back off, because the devil loves to use time and loves to use people to push you into something and make you override peace. And I just believe that our God is big enough that if you miss it, you know, trying to hear from God and trying to get things right, our God is a big enough God that He can bring it back around to you. He can make it up. He can cause you to be able to get it, even if you miss out on it because you're trying to follow God. So remember that and don't let people or time take advantage of you and push you around. Stay with peace and ask the Holy Spirit to help you in this. Again, it's a process. It's a process. And you're going to miss it and you're going to get it wrong. But it's a process, and the Holy Spirit is in you to tutor you and to help you and to guide you, and He'll lead you in it. Now, here's something you got to remember. You got to remember. Any leading that you have from the Holy Spirit should be judged in light of the written word. The Bible is the final authority, and the Holy Spirit will always agree. He will always agree, and the word agree means to say the same thing. He will always agree with and always say the same thing the word says. That's why you got to know what the Bible says. You got to know what the word says. He will never, ever disagree with the word. He will never lead you to do something that disagrees with the word or that goes crosswise with the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things and hold fast what is good. What do you mean, Susie? What do you mean that the Holy Spirit's always going to lead me in line with the Word? Well, what I mean is this. Don't ever come to me and say, oh, Susie, I just know the Holy Spirit is leading me to do such and such. And tell me a story like somebody told me one day when they came up to me. And this girl says to me, oh, Susie, I have found the man. He's the one for me. And so I asked her, like I do when people tell me these things, I said, oh, well, tell me about him. And she started telling me, oh, he's so wonderful. He's just so sweet. He brings me flowers. And he's just so sweet. He's so sweet. And she told me about that and told me, he's so cute. He's just got the softest, brownest eyes. And and she told me how cute he was. And she just went on and on about all these great attributes and he's just how wonderful he was and on and on. And I'm waiting, because that's not what I'm listening for. I'm listening for her to tell me what a man of God he is, but I hadn't heard that yet. And she went on and on and on until finally I couldn't wait anymore. And I said, so tell me about his spiritual life. Tell me about where he goes to church. And she goes, well, he's not really in church. And I said, okay, well, tell me how long he's been saved. And she goes, well, I'm not quite sure he's saved. I said, you're not quite sure he's saved. And she goes, well, no, I'm not quite sure. If he's kind of got different ideas about God and all. And I said, he's got different ideas about God. Like what? And she goes, well, he's kind of thinks, that people can get to God their own way. And then she kind of launches off into a lot of stuff that was just malarkey, you know. And so, she gets about 30 seconds into that when I just cut her off. And she's started this whole conversation by telling me that God was leading her to marry this guy. And so I just had to cut right through all that, because one thing I knew for sure, I didn't know about how soft his brown eyes were, and I didn't know about how sweet he was. But one thing I did know for sure was that the Holy Spirit who lived in her was not telling her to marry him, because that is directly opposed to what the scripture says, because the scripture says we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Christians are not to marry unbelievers. So don't be telling me that God's leading you to do something that the scripture says you shouldn't, like, you know, having sex outside of marriage, or, you know, committing adultery, which I've had people tell me that this, God has led me to this person because he has him for me. I know I'm married to somebody else, but God brought this man into my life because he has him for me. And I know I'm married to somebody else, but I know that this other guy is who God has for me. Don't tell me that. That's crosswise with the word. But again, people do what they want to do. Or did you not know that yet? Now, I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about how the Holy Spirit does not lead us, because sometimes you can learn more from this. You can learn a lot from how the Holy Spirit does not lead us, and you need to know this, because people have gotten really goofed up and flaked out by some wrong teaching. So this is how the Holy Spirit does not lead us. Number one, the Holy Spirit, God himself, does not lead his people by circumstances. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm talking about, you may have heard it like this, open doors, closed doors, like God has opened this door for me. This must be God, because I've been believing God for a job and then this door opened. Now, what I'm really talking about is by natural circumstances. Now, in the Old Testament, you got to remember, in the Old Testament, God had no way to communicate with people spirit to spirit. There was no way, because he didn't live inside of people. So the only way that he could communicate with people was through natural circumstances. So he couldn't talk to them spirit to spirit. However, now God lives inside people and he leads us spirit to spirit. He leads us on the inside. And so you can't expect God to lead you by natural circumstances. What happens is, if you're just going by open doors or closed doors, you're going to get off. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil can open doors. The devil can manipulate circumstances. The enemy, he can open doors and he can set you up and trap you, and he can distract you with these circumstances. Now, God will lead you. I've had him lead me to go through doors that were closed. We've had him to lead us to not go through doors that looked very attractive, doors that were open before us, that looked like were the very thing we should do, and they were open, but they weren't for us. We had one time a situation before we started pastoring where Matt was offered a job that was closer to our house, making more money, and it was a job that was a better job than the job he had. And he was offered that job, and then we knew by the Spirit who lived inside of us for him not to take that job. And the whole thing turned out, he didn't take the job. The people who were offering the job could not understand it. And really, frankly, we couldn't understand why he wasn't to take that job. And the whole thing bore out within 2 years that if he'd taken that job, it would have totally thwarted God's plan for us going in the ministry. And the whole way God worked out for us to be in full-time ministry would have totally goofed the whole thing up. But we didn't know it at the time. All we had to go on was the inward leading and God leading us on the inside. It was an open door that was not our door to go through. And then when we bought the building that our church is in now, if we had, that door was closed, but that was a door God had for us to go through. And we had to, by faith, believe God for that door to open. We had to take our faith and kick that door open for it to be opened. There are closed doors that are the doors for us to go through, and there are open doors that are for us not to go through. I'm going to tell you, when you're a baby Christian, God will have mercy on you. And so there may be times in your life where circumstances have been arrayed in such a way, but I'm telling you, don't go through a door just because it's open. And don't think a closed door means it's not God's will for you. You go by peace on the inside. You go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another thing. Never in the New Testament are we taught to ask for a natural sign to indicate God's will for us. See what happens? We are by nature, because we are, you know, human, we have been conditioned to be led by our natural senses. You know, what we see, what we can feel, what we smell, what we hear, what we can taste, what we can touch. And so we're looking for something in the natural to indicate God's will for us. Some people might call this putting out a fleece. That's based on an Old Testament story about Gideon. But we in the New Testament, we're taught to live by the inward witness. And so to ask God for something like, well, God, if this is you, make the phone ring three times. Or, you know, God, if you want me to do that, then, you know, have so-and-so speak to me first when I get to church on Sunday. Those are all like natural signs that you're asking God for. And we are not instructed in the New Testament to do that. And it's wrong to do that. Now, the last time that we see in the scripture, well, in fact, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, it's recorded that the 11 remaining disciples cast lots to decide who would replace Judas. You remember Judas betrayed Jesus, and so that left 11 disciples, and they needed a 12th one, and so they cast lots to decide who would replace Judas. The reason they did that is because the Holy Spirit had not come on them. He didn't come on them till Acts chapter 2, so they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. Never again, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. Never again was this practice mentioned after Acts chapter 2. Never again do we have any record that anybody cast lots. They didn't need that because the Holy Spirit was now in them to lead them and to guide them. They didn't need natural circumstances to guide them because they had the Holy Spirit. So that was no longer practiced. And after that, that's no longer a New Testament practice. Now we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, and we don't need telephones ringing or having the red light turn green at a certain time or having a certain number appear on the clock right when we look at it or any other kind of natural sign. Now, the Holy Spirit, this is important to know, the Holy Spirit does not lead through prophecy. Prophecy is a divine utterance, a God-inspired utterance in a known language. And the Holy Spirit does not lead through prophecy from another person or even from a minister. And that, in the New Testament, the purpose for prophecy was never for leading somebody. The purpose for prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, is for edification, which means to be charged up, to be charged up like you would charge up a battery, like a cell phone battery, or to exhort or to comfort. It's like to be encouraged, exhorted, comforted, edified. That's what prophecy is. It's like for to confirm something that you already know about. Maybe God's already been bearing witness in you about something, and someone would encourage you about something, or someone would confirm something. But it's never, never, never to lead you. And I know people who have been prophesied, so to speak, prophesied that they're supposed to marry so-and-so and been prophesied together, and they've actually married each other, and their marriages have been disasters because they weren't led together by God. They were led together by people. And that's a mistake. That's wrong. That is not the Holy Spirit. That's people goofing up. Now, it is not common that the Holy Spirit would work through your dreams to guide you. It might happen on occasion, but if and when it ever does, you will not have to seek the interpretation of it. You don't have to come to church and ask your pastor what it means. You don't have to go to your prayer group or some other people and say, well, this is what I dream. What do you think it means? If the Holy Spirit ever gives you a dream, He'll give you the interpretation. And I'm going to tell you, people have gotten off into strange doctrines in trying to interpret their dreams. I know there's kind of been a wave or rash of that going around in the last few years where people are teaching other people how to interpret their dreams. I tell you, you can just get monkeyed up with all that. That's not a big thing in the New Testament. That's not something that is, you know, taught in the New Testament to interpret your dreams. If you have a dream and it's from the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you what it means, and you don't have to go and learn how to interpret your dreams. That's not scriptural. That's a mess in the making, and you can get goofed up trying to do that. So just let that alone. If you ever have a dream from the Holy Spirit, you'll know what it means, and He's plenty able. If He's able to give you the dream, He's plenty able to show you what it means, and you don't have to read books and get people to teach you about it, and you certainly don't have to go around and ask other people to interpret it for you. Now, finally, I want to say this. Very rarely does the Holy Spirit lead people in a spectacular way, like a divine appearance or an open vision or an angelic visitation. These things are not promised to us in the Scriptures. These things should not be sought after. Never are any of these things promised to us. And you need to remember this. Most cults began after their leaders had what they thought to be angelic appearances. The Scripture teaches us that the devil, the demonic forces, the enemy can appear as angels of light, meaning that they can appear as angels, but actually they're demons. And so if you long for that, and if you seek that, you may be accommodated, but you may be accommodated not by godly spirits, but by demonic spirits. And so very rarely does the Holy Spirit lead people in that way. You got to understand the New Testament is all about us believing without seeing, all about us having faith in a God that we've never seen. The reality is that we have His Word and we take Him at His Word and we believe in a God we haven't seen. And He hasn't promised us anything as far as giving us spectacular appearances or open visions or divine appearances. So don't be seeking that and don't be looking for that. He wants to lead you by peace. He wants to lead you by the inward witness. He wants to lead you in spirit to spirit. So develop in that. Develop in being led through the Word. Develop in being led by peace. Develop in being led by the Spirit of God who lives in your spirit and having Him bear witness with your spirit. You can't go wrong with that. And it's a process. I urge you to get started in it if you haven't been started in it. And if you've been in it and been developing in it for years, I'm sure there's something here today that can help you with it. But keep at it. God bless you and enjoy.